Whitey, can you name this tune?
Foo Fighters.
Yep.
We're fighting Foo.
Yep.
Is that the name of the song?
Thanks to them, we have very little Foo left. They have fought most of it off, and the world is a safer place. Thank you, Dave Grohl, for doing that for us.
Foo is bad for you?
Oh, and moderate. I mean, everyone could have a little. You could have a little bit of Foo, but the problem is people who have too much Foo, and then what?
What do they do with the defeated Foo?
Turn it into Egg Foo Young, which yes. I love.
Yes, they do. That'd be a good band name, Egg Foo Young Fighters. That would be a great name.
I wouldn't
get Grohl
fight
on
it.
The phone. No, who would fight that? Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. It won't all be Foo talk. Not all of it. Not for 2 hours. That's impossible. You started out. You got me so excited this morning. You said something that I went, oh, how about this for good news? You told me it looks like Michael Jackson is still alive.
Yeah,
but it turns out that was a hoax.
It is a hoax. There's a.
Did you know this, Steve?
No, I know. The anniversary of his fake death was just earlier this week.
Yep.
Well, it's not like he's hanging out with Elvis in Kalamazoo. Is that where Elvis is supposed to be?
They thought he was in Kalamazoo, Michigan, but it turns out that was not correct.
Next time, will you tell me you're going to bring this up so I can get my information?
That's all right.
There's a guy who said he was listening to the new Janet Jackson record.
Yeah.
Or CD or whatever. And there's some kind of message in there from Michael Jackson, and he slowed it down, and it was definitely Michael Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Saying Paul is dead.
Right. Right. Wouldn't that be big news that Michael Jackson was still alive?
It would be great news for the doctor gave him the medication.
Oh, yeah. It would be very good news for him.
Thank God.
The only one of those that I gave any, even the smallest bit of credence to, you go ahead. You're going to get it right.
Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman was the only one, and it didn't take me long to realize, no, Andy is gone. But for a while, I went, this sounds exactly like the type of publicity stunt that Andy Kaufman would have gone for.
And Andy seemed to be such a patient person that he'd wait 10 or 20 years to do the reveal.
Right.
Me, not so much. I'd fake my death, and then 10 minutes later, only kidding.
I was kidding. I was messing with you guys. So the people that we've been told might be dead and might not be dead are Andy Kaufman, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson for a little bit.
Howard Hughes.
Was on the list
really?
For a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. People thought that was a hoax. But Jim Morrison was kind of a big one. Eddie from Eddie and the Cruisers, not that big of a deal. That one kind of came and went in a day.
One of the Cruisers did him in, didn't they?
I think so.
Yeah. Wait, people said Jim Morrison faked his death?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And I'm trying, are we missing any? I think that's the only, I think those are the big fake deaths, I think. I can't think of any other ones offhand.
Can I just ask why you do it? I mean, Andy Kaufman would have done it because he was just Mr. Bizarro.
Well, right. In the end, no one has done it. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Right. You know.
All right. Well, Bertrand, you're the one to do it,
right?
Really.
Olivia Newton-John's husband did it, right? Didn't he?
He jumped off a boat?
Yeah,
or something?
He wanted it to look like he fell off a boat, I think. But then it turned out they found him in some island somewhere.
With another family. Why couldn't he have just filed for divorce? I know it's bad to divorce an Olivia Newton-John once you get her.
Right.
But still, just can we be honest with one another?
It's the best policy. I've heard it's the best policy.
Yeah, but
why
to
wouldn't
fake your death falling off a boat and then just be somewhere and not be known.
Can you imagine all the planning that has
to go? I like to be known.
Right. Right. And is Olivia Newton-John that bad to come home to? I would love that.
Well, we don't live with her, Bill. There's two sides to every story.
We interviewed her once for 15 minutes. Very pleasant lady.
You interviewed her once. I didn't get a chance to talk. Which is good, because I didn't really have much to say.
I may have,
you were gushing.
I dominated. Yeah, because it was Olivia Newton-John.
I know.
I kept thinking, like, if 14-year-old me was told at some point, someday you'll get to talk to Olivia Newton-John, every day I'd go, is this the day? Is this the day I get to talk to Olivia Newton-John?
You mean you didn't have a dream about that like you did knowing you'd work with Danny Bonaducci one day?
No.
Because that, you decided, what, at 10? I'm going to work with that guy someday.
Yeah, right around 10. Right around 10.
If they don't make a Left Family sitcom,
they're not going to.
They are missing the boat. There are so many unique parts of your life today and back then.
They won't, because they can't get enough shag carpeting to make it realistic. That's the one thing holding them back. They still make shag carpeting, but they don't make enough of it to fill our house.
I'm sure Luna or the estate of the Empire Carpet Guy could get you set
up. Maybe. Maybe. Oh, I have to mention this about Michael Jackson. Now, Steve, you just said the anniversary of his death is coming soon,
No,
right?
I think it was this week earlier.
Oh, was it
9 years?
Oh, 9 years already?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was the same day as Farrah Fawcett, right? Didn't they die on the same day?
If not the same day, I think within a day or two of each other. It was very close. It was very close. So at the time, I was doing physical therapy on a torn labrum. So I had to go in 2 or 3 days a week.
I didn't know you were
you a therapist?
No, I'm not a therapist, Steve. I had a torn labrum.
Oh.
So I had to go in so that they could make me right again so that I could be me.
You're an author now?
No. So I went in there.
How does it feel to work with someone like you?
It's not good. It's not good. So I go into the place that's doing physical therapy, and they've got TVs everywhere, and everybody's not doing physical therapy. They're all watching the funeral of Michael Jackson. Because if you'll remember, this was the biggest news in the world at the time, that Michael, the king of pop, had passed away. It's all everybody was talking about, and then they're showing the ceremony, and everybody in the whole place is watching the ceremony. And I walked up to the girl that was doing physical therapy, and I said, what are we watching? And she goes, the Michael Jackson funeral. And I went, Michael Jackson, what happened? And of course, I'm kidding, because everyone in the world knew that Michael Jackson had died.
The Michael Jackson death announcement was the very first time I got news from Twitter.
Yeah, it's so funny you say that, because I was going to say that's the first time I remember texting to a buddy of mine the news. That's, you know, my first text. It wasn't my first text, but that was sort of early on. And I remember, like, wow, I could tell this guy by text.
Yeah. But she and everybody in the place couldn't believe that I didn't know that Mike, and of course I knew,
right?
Because that's all everybody was talking about for a week. But I just acted astonished, and I had to lay down. I go, I need to lay down. And she said, well, luckily you're in a physical therapy office. There's plenty of places. Where do you want to lay down?
Now I have a torn labrum and a broken heart.
Right, all in one day. I hope my HMO covers this.
June 25th.
It was just the anniversary.
Michael Jackson died the same day that Farrah Fawcett died. Because I remember feeling bad because they were both icons, and I was bothered. I can't remember who died first.
She didn't get any of the publicity. It was all his.
Yeah, and she deserved it.
That's the same way with Groucho Marx and Elvis Presley.
Just thinking that like 30 years ago.
They died within a day of each other. And Elvis was all over the place, and Groucho was on page 41. And that was Groucho Marx. That's not fair.
Yeah, but it was Elvis Presley. Groucho was not relevant at that moment.
Not at the moment, but Groucho Marx.
So when you sat down 20 minutes ago, did you think Groucho Marx and Elvis Presley would be the topic of your conversation?
No.
No.
No. No, Steve, not at all. All right, let's take a little break. Let's collect our thoughts. We'll come back stronger and better, I promise. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You improved Oliver. Please, sir, may I have s'mores? Wouldn't that be a different story?
Yes.
I like it.
I found out some interesting things that Farrah Fawcett and Michael Jackson did die on the same day. There was a news report that Michael Jackson faked his death and is alive and well somewhere, but that...
We don't believe it.
It's not true.
No. Tito's alive. I know that for a fact, Wendy.
His career isn't. Farrah Fawcett died June 25th, 2009... And her death was overshadowed by Michael Jackson.
Now, certainly Michael Jackson deserves a lot of attention, but Farrah Fawcett deserved a bunch of attention, too. And because of his death, she just didn't get it. It's a travesty.
It is. And there are some other people who didn't get the attention.
For the same reason?
I know one.
Who?
Jim Henson and Sammy Davis Jr. died on the same day.
Oh, they did?
Yes, they did. So everybody was talking about the Muppets, and everybody forgot about Sammy Davis Jr.
I have to say, Farrah was, you know,
she was big in the 70s. Again, you have to go who's more popular at that moment.
She had a poster.
Yes.
And that's about it.
Boy,
and
did
so
she.
Did you.
A couple of posters. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I can still see it on my wall.
Yes.
But other than that, I mean, she was, you know...
Oh, come on. That was the best acting ever in the Charlie's Angels, and she's married to the $6 million man.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah,
right.
I'm with Wendy.
Yeah, she should have got a lot more attention. A lot more.
Here are some other ones. You can go to a top 10
list.
I'm
almost surprised with the Jim Henson, Sammy Davis Jr. one. I'm almost surprised that Sammy didn't get the bulk of that attention. Now, he wasn't as popular at the time of his death as Jim Henson was, but still, he's a Rat Packer.
Closer to home, Doug Henning died on the day Bob Collins died here.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't magic.
No. Mm-mm.
Doug Henning.
Yeah.
I forgot all about him. Do you guys know who Eddie Matthews is?
Yeah, the baseball player.
Yes, he died on February 18th, 2001, but the more famous death that day, the same day, who? Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Oh, yeah, that's going to get all the attention.
Well, it was a fatal crash at the Daytona 500.
What, are you on page 22 of the BuzzFeed story? I mean...
No, there are
like Eddie Matthews.
All right, wait. There are even worse ones. I'm trying to pick the most popular ones.
He was a player, and then he managed the Braves for a couple of years, but he was no Dale Earnhardt Jr.
No, he was not.
No.
All right. One of the Darrens died on July 8th, 1994.
Dick York or Dick Sargent?
Dick Sargent.
Yeah.
He was the second Darren from Bewitched, and the more famous death that day, North Korea's eternal president, Kim Il-sung.
Oh.
Sung. He took out the precedent.
I always got Dick Sargent and him mixed up.
He was the second Kim Il-sung.
Yeah.
See, some of these are really terrible.
The first one had a back injury and couldn't finish his role.
Actor Michael Chekhov, do you know who that is?
Michael Chekhov? No.
Yes, he was an actor probably known for his role in Alfred Hitchcock's Spellbound, which he was nominated for an Oscar Best Supporting Actor. He wrote a book called To the Actor, which is still cited as a developmental tool by actors such as Johnny Depp today.
Oh.
And he
His
died.
His death was superseded by everyone else that died that day.
No, this is a pretty huge one.
Is this
one.
A big one?
James Dean.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. That's gigantic.
At 24. I forget he was so young.
Just giant, Bill.
Giant. He made three movies.
East of Eden.
And Rebel Without a Cause.
Yes.
Those are the other two.
Boy, these, all right.
And he's not Jimmy Dean. People always get Jimmy Dean and James Dean mixed up.
Have you
he
noticed
like
that,
sausage.
Speaking of coming back from the dead, Jimmy Dean's on TV again?
How did that happen?
Selling a sausage.
He's recently dead.
I know.
That's what she
and
said.
So I've seen commercials. I'm like, wait, he's not alive? And I looked it up. But
wow.
So I guess he's been gone long enough to now where they can bring him back and...
And pretend he never died?
I don't remember if it's video or audio, but
with the original Colonel Sanders. I mean, I know now they've got a bunch of comics and actors playing him, but every once in a while they'll throw a guy in there and they want you to believe it's Colonel Sanders, and he's gone.
Yeah, Jimmy Dean is back.
Let me throw
this
out.
This sausage is so good, I had to come back from the dead to tell you about it. What was that?
The angel just came down. The angel of Jimmy Dean.
It's
shaped Hello. Like a patty, a
Hello,
sausage
Jimmy?
Patty.
Yeah, we're talking about you now. Yeah.
Now, I've told you this before, Wendy, but the funniest thing I've ever seen Terry Garsayer do, and that's hard because she has said and done so many things. Terry Garst told a story one time. She was on an airliner with Cher.
An airliner?
Yeah, a plane. You've seen airplanes, right? So she's on an airplane, and they've got all kinds of turbulence, and everybody's panicking. And all Terry Garst could think of was, I hope this plane doesn't crash, because Cher will get all the attention. All the headlines will say, Cher perishes in plane crash, and then later on it'll go, also on board Terry Garr. And she didn't want that.
That is so funny.
And it turns out they did not die on the same day.
No, they both lived.
All right, my money's on Bill Leff, but I am going to throw a who is this person, the real
right.
name of someone,
all
and
right.
it's either you or Bertrand,
Let's
and
see
I'm
who
going
gets
with
it.
You.
All right.
Carl Switzer.
That's Alfalfa.
Ding, ding,
right?
ding.
Is that Alfalfa?
That's not fair.
Well, I had my money was on Bill. He right. played Alfalfa from Our Gang.
And he's in It's a Wonderful Life, too.
He is?
Yeah, he's the guy. You know the scene where the swimming pool opens up and they all fall in the swimming pool?
Yeah.
He's the guy that does that.
I could only win this against Bill if the contestants were names from my first grade class.
Right. So he was shot dead. He had
by
some...
Butch. His enemy, Butch and Woym.
As an adult, the former child actor had a side job training hunting dogs. After one of the dogs got lost in the woods, Switzer offered $50. This is just such
Wait,
a strange
I thought
story.
Hunting dogs, I didn't think the hunting dogs shot.
No.
I thought they went after the prey.
They're
right.
supposed to.
Well, he's training them. He lost the dog, offered $50 for its return. When the dog was returned, Switzer paid the money in a combination of cash and drinks. Switzer then tried to collect the money for the dog's return from the man whom Switzer had trained the dog for. A fight ensued between the two, and Switzer was shot dead.
Ugh.
What a terrible way to go.
Why would you kill Alfalfa?
Really?
It's the worst.
All right, so he dies, and the more famous death, Cecil B. DeMille got all the credit. Even though it was a bizarre dog death.
Right.
He got all the credit.
That's
Cecil
crazy.
B. DeMille. Gregory has some information for us, and we were talking about Jimmy Dean sausage. Gregory, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Just a little more information to back up Steve Bertrand's story. A while back, way back, Jimmy Dean actually sold his sausage company, and when he sold it, he became furious. It was in all the papers because they decided they weren't going to use him as the spokesman anymore for what used to be his own company. And now all these years later, they are resurrecting him. In between, they were running all those ads where a guy was dressed like the sun and there were people dressed like clouds. Have a Jimmy Dean sausage biscuit and you'll feel better.
Yeah.
Those were the commercials they were running. But it was interesting that he got furious after he had sold the company that they had dropped him.
Well, that should have been in the contract, is how much they use him, if at all, right?
Contracts were bad back then.
I guess so.
His image wouldn't go into the public domain or anything like that, right?
No, after they had to have permission. No, they
need
permission.
By now. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Gregory. Appreciate it.
So long.
Have a great day.
He was a singer?
Yeah.
And an actor?
Yeah.
That's what he really was.
Yeah.
How do you go from singing to making sausage?
I'm not sure.
You don't want to see how a song's written.
All right, let's do this.
Bad John was his?
Yeah.
Big Bad John.
Yeah.
Wow. Acting career, appeared in the early seasons of the Daniel Boone TV series. He played Fess Parker. Why did I not know that?
No. He couldn't play Fess Parker as an actor.
Oh, sidekick. Fess Parker. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Could he have been in Diamonds Are Forever?
Jimmy Dean?
Later, no, he was on the big screen in a supporting role as billionaire Willard White in the James Bond movie Diamonds Are Forever.
Oh, I didn't know that. There's no sausage scenes in any James Bond movies. Oh, wait. Maybe there is. I don't remember.
Are you a sausage lover? Sausage is good.
Would someone please hit the spot?
No, we don't have spots.
Please.
So let's just directly go right to the news.
I'm not ready.
You're not ready? What do you mean?
Of course I'm ready. I'm always ready.
We try to hit you on time, and we're already 36 minutes seconds late.
Yes. All right. Right. Steve, thanks very much. In a little bit, Bridget Carey from CNET will join us.
It's a Tech Tuesday.
It is a Tech Tuesday, Wendy. Well said. Speaking of technology, they just held a huge Star Wars auction where memorabilia from the Star Wars movies were sold. The top item was the blaster that Han Solo used in the cantina scene. You know,
I don't know the rest.
You were doing great. That was wonderful.
Max Rebo.
Yeah, the Max Rebo band. Very, very nice.
Sometimes I learn this thing through osmosis.
Yeah.
See the blue elephant type thing in the room?
Yeah. I think we need to address the blue elephant thing in the room, don't we? So there's a controversial scene, the cantina scene, over who shot first, Han Solo, which would have been rude as he shoots and kills Greedo. The blaster has sold for $550,000 to someone named Jay McInerney.
No, I will kill him. He doesn't have that kind of money.
What could he spend before you would get mad? Is there a dollar amount that he could spend on something Star Wars relatable that you would go, what have you done? What's that dollar amount?
He doesn't do that. He really...
He's pretty good about this?
Yeah. He does
nothing
not spend...
Nothing overpriced?
No, but I would probably say $500.
That's the limit?
Depending on what it was.
If it was something like someone in the 300 to 400 range, you would just go, well, that's his stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
You'd
be all right with it? Why? Are you trying to... Is Terry listening? Do you want me to help you out?
We don't have a rule about this. There have been some things that I have spent a lot of money on. Toy-wise.
Over 300?
Oh, yeah. Way over. There was something a couple of years ago that it was the most I've ever spent on anything for my collection. And I said to her, I went and bought it, and then I came and I sat down with her. Now, if this was anyone else, honestly, they would think that I was going to confess that I had, you know, either had an affair or I had killed somebody or something like that. But I said, I just did something, and I need to let you know that I did this. Because if I were you, I'd be furious. And I told her how much I spent, and she turned a color that you don't see in nature very often.
But it's not like you do it all the time, and this is, you know.
No, I know. But I
do
mean,
you do it all the time?
No, I don't. I mean, I buy stuff all the time, but I don't buy expense. Every once in a while, you'll see something and you'll go, this is a once in a lifetime chance. If I don't buy this, I'll never have another chance again. But if you don't have that like collector glitch in your brain, I don't think you, like I said to her, if I were you, I wouldn't understand this. I'd be furious if I were you. And she was for a little while.
We went to some place, I don't even know if it was C2E2 or something, and there was, you will know this better than me, there was some kind of Star Wars box that was only a few were made, and this was completely folded out into a poster and framed. Mm. I don't remember what it was, but it's pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy wanted $300 for it, and Jim's birthday was coming up, and I just said, you know what? I like to spend money. Even when I go to the car repair shop,
yeah.
I like the transaction. It excites me to spend money. I will buy this for you. And he was the one who said, this is way too much money,
yeah.
But it's pretty great.
Yeah.
So I probably spent the most on a collectible. Oh. He doesn't do
big, lucky.
Yeah.
He does more volume than he does one or two
right.
gigantic things.
Right. It's like, you know, little action figures here and there so
yeah.
he can have his stormtrooper army.
Yeah.
That's pretty much filling out a room right now.
Yeah.
But those are like $12 to $20 each.
But I don't know, like once you spend that kind of money, because $550,000.
Well, that's
no
unheard
kidding around,
of.
That's more than $500,000.
There's your
I mean,
house.
Really, that is the, right. You could buy a house for
and
that.
And a
you
couple
could buy
of cars.
House. Right. So once you have that in your possession, and this is coming from a guy who has a lot of goofy stuff that's just around, that I just look at it makes me happy, but I don't think I could ever look at that and go, I spent more than $500,000 for that. Like I would every day I'd go, I overspent.
Can I tell you something? If you had $500,000 to part with, it wouldn't bother
it's
you.
It's not that kind of money then, right?
Because, I mean, no
right.
one's going to double mortgage their house to buy this.
Right. Right.
I hope.
You'd have to come from a, you'd have to have
yeah.
a bunch of money to even think about spending that kind of money, right? You'd have to.
Aren't there some comics and actors that come in that are big collectors like you?
Yeah.
They have money. Maybe
right.
they bought it.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't say, I don't think it says anywhere in the story who bought it. It just says that was a lot of money. It is. It's a ton of money.
I can't even imagine that.
See, I don't think we have... Now, Terry doesn't... My wife doesn't collect anything. She just doesn't have that as part of her.
You do have to have it.
Yeah.
Like, Jim's dad collected stuff. Did either of your parents have collections?
My parents, and this is ironic because they didn't drink...
Oh, yeah.
Jim Beam bottles. There's collector Jim Beam bottles, and they had hundreds of them, and then they didn't drink, you know? Luckily.
Yeah, boy.
Would have been crazy drunk from all the Jim Beam collector bottles.
The only thing I collect are old-time radios.
That's safe?
It is. But I have a limit. Like, I won't spend over, like, $150 on them.
That's the breaking point.
Yeah. Because I just feel like some of them don't work, and I just like to display them.
Yeah.
And some of them I've had to rewire because the cord is cloth because it's old. But I feel like I'll always find one that's under $150.
Yeah.
If I loved it, if it was something amazing like a floor cabinet, I might go $200. But I don't go crazy with it.
There's a couple of auction houses that I deal with, and every month that they send me these booklets of what's on sale. You know, they do these auctions every month. It's
just
actually
to taunt
every other
you?
Month. Well, it's not so much to taunt me as to just say, here's some things. We know the kinds of things you like. Here's what's up for auction. I guess it is taunting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. And I just say to myself, wow, I mean, I would love to have that. But then your brain kicks in and goes, yeah, but putting two kids through college, you know, you have to pay a house and cars off and stuff.
Yeah, but you could always sell this stuff to put your kids through college, which you will never do.
I would never do that. I tell my kids, education's overrated. You don't need it. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then Bridget Carey joins us from CNET. That's coming up in just a little bit.
Hey, you know what that music means, Bill.
Time to dance.
Like David Byrne, Talking Heads, it is a Tech Tuesday. And CNET senior editor Bridget Carey has joined us right now. Bridget, I thought of you earlier this week. There was a VR headset by PlayStation that there was a super sale going on, and you had to purchase it to save over $100 off. So for a summer gift for both my boys, I bought it, and it's super cool. You know what I'm talking about?
That is a good deal to grab because, these VR headsets, they're not cheap. And for the holidays, they'll probably go back up again. So that is good. Yeah, everyone kind of, when it comes to the video game consoles themselves, PlayStation's really the biggest one that has a headset. Otherwise, you can eat a whole computer system and something called Oculus or and a big setup with HTC Vive. PlayStation makes it easy to just kind of start your family understanding VR and getting into it.
Although I have to confess, it's really funny to watch people doing it. There's like this baking thing or accountant program that you're doing, and I won't do them with them in the room because I'm afraid they're going to videotape me and put it on Instagram or something. Because you look like an idiot, I got to tell you, when you're doing it.
Most technology makes us look like idiots, I would say.
Bridget, there's some Barbie news. What is the Barbie news?
Okay, well, it's news I got to break earlier this morning. Barbie's been around for 59 years. She's had 200 different kinds of careers and all the different little dolls they make for her. And she now is a robotics engineer. This is her new career. She has a new tech job. In fact, it's really only the third time out of 200 careers she's kind of dabbled in computer sciences. But what makes it different this time is Mattel's really taking a layered approach to this whole thing of, like, showing girls it's great to inspire them that they can be anything. They can program their robots, and she comes with a little computer and a little robot accessory, but also you can go online, and this Barbie will teach you how to code. There's a free course. You don't have to buy the Barbie. You go to Tinker with a Y, tinker.com, and it's simple enough for kindergartners, but even I had a little fun learning some basics with it. And Barbie kind of takes you through and teaches you some coding concepts. There's also a workbook. Mattel really is getting it right this time, I would say. And
but Bridget,
there really is also a push in the toy industry, or rather a demand, I should say, for more toys that focus around STEM, that's the sciences, engineering, math, technology, the whole educational toy aspect. And so if you look at Barbie's like recent careers, she's a scientist. She's a paleontologist. There's a new astronaut. There's a game developer. So really, she's more about science these days than she is about surfboards.
But isn't this the same Barbie who just years ago said, and I quote, "Math is hard." Remember that?
Yes. I have a whole video kind of going through the history of Barbie and her evolution into and finally embracing math. But that was 1992. That was Teen Talk Barbie. I know way too much now about this. That was Teen Talk Barbie. And the button on her back, you would press, and she said so many different random things, but a small percentage did say, "Math is hard."
Yeah.
And of course, but years went by before, even after that she even attempted a science job, because they had her do sports and work as a police officer and a firefighter and all these cool things. But it wasn't until 2010 that she became a computer and a software programmer, and she was all pink, and she had a Bluetooth earpiece. Okay, that's cool. This is the time of the iPad, right? But they had a book that came out that was separate from the doll, and the book, Computer Engineer Barbie, didn't program.
Oh.
She had the boys code for her.
Oh, that's not
right. She got a virus on her computer and needed to get the boys to help her get it. It was not a good look, and so that's why Mattel really is taking, all right, let's step back, let's do it right this time. They came out with another programmer in 2016, and ever since then, they've been going really hard on STEM, and this one doesn't just look the part, she acts the part by having these online courses and a workbook that teaches you concepts of coding.
This is super great for girls growing up today, because, you're labeled, just watching The Big Bang Theory and the smart girls are shown as maybe not that attractive, but
right.
You can be attractive. And you can be smart, and you don't need to have boys help you. I think this is an important lesson.
And of course, you hear all the time that women are underrepresented in these fields of STEM. Like, for example, women make up 26% of all the computing jobs right now in the U.S. And out of all the people getting computer science bachelor degrees in college right now, women make up 19% of them. So there's more of a demand for these jobs, and we need that next generation to take on these roles and see themselves in these roles.
But Bridget, are her dimensions still out of whack?
No. I don't know if you knew this. Like, she comes in a lot of sizes now.
Oh,
yeah,
she does?
This is something that happened 2 years ago. Oh. Yeah, she's got, like, my scientist Barbie I bought, I have a whole thing I did on this, and the scientist Barbie, she's got some hips,
yeah?
You know?
Right.
Yeah, so,
more realistic.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, exactly.
Some baby bird than hips, that's what she got.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, because you're right, Bill, that, I mean, I think back of the original Barbie in the 50s with the black and white striped bathing suit.
Yeah.
And, you know, the hourglass figure. Oh, my God, her waist was as big as
way
a straw.
Way out of proportion. Way out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Now,
well,
are they going to make a new Ken doll that cooks and does other domestic things around the house? Because they really should do that.
I like to see stay-at-home Ken with like one of those baby carrier accessories.
Yeah.
That'd be
maybe
great.
Maybe Bjorn or whatever.
Yeah. All right,
everyone's got to lean in together. That's how you make it work, right?
And some Apple news. I know that Apple comes out with new things all the time. They have this keyboard on the new Macs. Tell us about this.
Okay. So there's a bit of a problematic feature of some of these MacBooks, where the keyboard is so thin, it's called a butterfly hinge design. It doesn't have a nice click like you might be used to. It actually is so thin that just kind of you kind of type and fly, and people need like a week or so to get used to it. But it's so thin, in fact, that a lot of the complaints are that you could be eating over your computer, and the tiniest crumb could just ruin the whole thing. If something gets jammed in there, you need to turn it in to be repaired or replaced. No little air can save you. So I've heard this complaint for years, and now the other week, Apple made an announcement saying, if you have any problems with this keyboard, we'll take it in for free and replace or repair it for you. So that kind of makes me wonder, will they keep making this keyboard in future models? But if you are considering a laptop, a MacBook, consider the keyboard and, decide if you want to go with the super thin one or not, but I eat over my keyboard and I do not trust myself with it. So I went with an old school keyboard.
And is Apple still giving, are they still replacing batteries? And you can go into settings and look up your battery to see if it's functioning. And I think my battery health is 86%. So I don't know if they're going to give me a new battery.
Oh, well, I believe you can, if you feel like you're having issues with that and you can kind of show, I think they could, but I have to look up, if there was a certain time limit. I think it was a year you have, so maybe
till the
it
end
will
of this
eventually
year, I
stop.
Think.
Right, it will eventually stop, but at least in the new operating system, if you have it, you can kind of get a better sense of what app might be causing the most drainage or how your performance is doing exactly.
Perfect. Well, I have to make an appointment because I know that you announced this and you said this will be good for a year and the year's almost over, so I have to get in
Hurry
there and
up,
make an
Wendy.
Appointment. Because my thing crashes on me all the time.
Does it?
Yeah.
That's
I'll be
right.
doing something and there's just like a white horizontal line that happens like the old TVs when you turned them off.
Uh-huh.
And then it restarts and everything's fine, but that doesn't seem normal to me.
Well, hopefully in the fall this is going to get better. A lot of people have this complaint because they feel like, well, I have an older phone, but these new operating systems shouldn't be just, causing havoc on my phone. So in the new iOS 12 coming out in the fall, it's supposed to be better at managing your resources in your phone so you don't go through that as much. You know, we'll see how it really ends up, but that's their goal.
They always are working on something. It seems like there's always a bug, always a fix, and they just keep going.
Yeah, we are the beta testers now. It feels like, we're all the guinea pigs.
Bridget, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, talk to you later, guys. Thanks.
That's Bridget Carey, senior editor over at CNET, cnet.com, for all your tech needs. We'll take a quick break. Don't forget, we still have Peter Pan tickets to give away. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Don't know when I'll be back again.
Finally, some John Denver music. Finally.
Didn't he die in a plane crash? Isn't that
ironic?
Yes, he
did. In a plane that I think he built, right?
He was a piloted kid.
Yeah, it was a mini one.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a couple of airplane stories. This is brought on by my story earlier about Terry Garr, who said that she was on a flight and there was some turbulence and everybody was nervous. And she looked over and she saw Cher. And she said, I hope this plane doesn't go down because Cher will get all the attention. Which is...
And another... That is so funny.
I think that's beautiful.
And Cher always had such pointy nails. If there was any turbulence, you'd be worried that she'd poke you.
She could accidentally stab you. That's right. A good point. I didn't even think about that, Wendy. True. All right, so there's two airplane stories. The first involves an actor named Michael Rapaport, who I think, like, if people saw him, they would know him in a second. Here, I'll give you a couple of examples of where you might know Michael Rapaport from. He's a tall guy. He used to be really thin. Now he's filled out a little bit. He's got reddish curly hair, although now it's graying a bit. On Friends, he was Phoebe's boyfriend for a while, who was a police officer. He's been in a bunch of Spike Lee movies. He was on Prison Break for a year. Trying to think of where else people would know him from. If you saw him, you'd go, oh, yeah, that guy. Very New York-y.
He's got My name is Earl. He was on it regularly.
Yeah. He's got a show on now that I had never heard of. Atypical. I don't know what that is, but he's one of the stars of Atypical. But you've seen him a million times. So he's on a flight the other day when someone decides...
NYPD Blue. I'm sorry. That's where I first saw him. He was a young officer. Yeah, because red hair and he had this New York accent. I totally remember him.
I don't remember him on that. Oh, all right. Good. All right. So he's on a flight from Houston to Los Angeles where a guy decides he's going to open up the emergency exit.
Who decides that?
It seems like an odd decision. I don't know.
Even if you're freaking out and you don't want to be on the plane anymore, that's not the way to go.
No. Nope.
I would just scream till they land the plane. I would just make a scene and say, really, I'm having a breakdown here. You got to land the plane. Not that I'm going to.
Right.
But you'd never try to. It's not going to end well.
No, you're right. You're right. The Atypical star, this is Rapaport. He's not atypical. The show he's on is Atypical. Explained what happened next in his podcast.
Who doesn't have a podcast?
Almost everybody does have a podcast now, Wendy.
Why don't you have one?
I can't get a license for one. He, along with former basketball players Glenn Big Baby Davis and Baron Davis.
No nickname?
No, Baron's his given name. And I think once somebody has a nickname as cool as Big Baby, you're not going to top that. So you just give in. You go, I'll just go with Baron. I can't top that. They were sleeping in their first class seats on Saturday when someone tapped him on the shoulder, him being Michael Rapaport, the actor. That's when the actor spotted a man trying to open the plane's emergency exit. I got up out of my seat, half sleeping, with my headphones in my ear, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, what the blank are you doing? I say that in case Gene Rayburn is listening, Wendy. He had two hands on the lever, or lever, if you're so inclined, Rapaport said. I said it three times, loud.
Loudly.
Yeah, I should have said loudly.
Yeah,
you're right.
That bugs me.
No, you're right. That's a good place for an adverb. You're absolutely right. The second time I said it, he still had it in his hand. He still had his hand on the blanking thing. Michael Rapaport, prone to the foul language, Wendy. That's why I assumed you must be friends with him.
Shut up.
You probably know Michael Rapaport. Rapaport pinned him against the seat, and flight attendants and other passengers helped him get the man away from the door. The man told crew members he thought that the door that he was trying to open was the bathroom.
There's no way.
It's clearly marked.
And it doesn't say occupied or vacant.
Right.
I mean, come on.
It says, I believe, emergency exit.
Yeah, and the
bathroom. Everyone I've ever seen says emergency exit, not bathroom.
The lavatory bathroom, which is what they call it on a plane, is so small, it's like if you have a purse or a diaper bag, it's almost impossible getting in those folding doors. This is a giant door. How can you mistake them?
Can I say something horribly cruel?
Uh-oh.
If you die because you've opened up the door to the bathroom that is you think is the bathroom, but it's actually the emergency exit, you kind of have it coming to you, but everybody else on the plane does not.
Right. You can't say that.
That's not their fault. It's your fault.
Right. So you can't say that because they have it coming to them, but we don't.
Right. Just the person who does it. Because then that's a story you tell people. I was on a plane one time. from Houston to Los Angeles. This guy had to go to the bathroom. He opens up the emergency exit, gets sucked out. Can you imagine? And then you go on. But if it's then if everybody else is getting sucked out, then the story is ruined. It's awful. Rappaport posted a video on Twitter joking about the scary event with Davis and Big Baby. Nobody puts Big Baby in the corner, by the way, Wendy. Did you know that?
Or in the lavatory.
Right. So he's a hero. So I guess the question is, because he took action, and if he didn't take action, who knows how the story would have ended up? The guy who had to go to the bathroom, or so he says, may have destroyed everybody. It could have ruined everybody. It could have all died.
See, I know you well enough to know, and you're not a Budinsky, which is what we called it in our family.
Mm-hmm.
You are one to save the day.
I would have done something.
I know,
I'm not kidding.
I know you, and I know you would have been like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And you would have gotten up and strong-armed him.
Yes. Yes.
You would have.
Yeah, sometimes you have to take action. And we've seen so many things over the years where everybody's a little sheepish. Although I think the tide is turning, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do too.
I think now people are more proactive. And if they see something that's life-threatening, people go, I got to do something.
And see, it's so hard for me to answer this question because I imagine I'd be sitting next to Jim and I would probably go, Jim, do something.
Right.
And then I'd get mad at him for doing something because if he got hurt.
Yeah, then you blame yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think years ago I would have just made Jim do it. But I do think
would you have done something?
I think so now.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that you said the tides have turned, I believe you're right.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
And I mean, you got nothing to lose. I mean, you have kids that, you know, are getting shot up in schools. And my youngest said, you know, if I see somebody with a gun and I know there's absolutely no way out, I'm going after them. And I said, but don't. And he goes, no, I mean, 100% no way out. Like, I'm not going to make it alive. I'm going to do what
you
I can.
You got to do something.
And it is a change of emotion now. It's like you get mad. You want to help.
Yes. Yes.
I don't think people sit idly by anymore.
I should also point out, Wendy, and you know this about me, anytime I travel on an airplane, I always travel with Big Baby Davis and Baron Davis.
It's your backup.
Wherever I go.
You got to back up Big Baby.
Yes. Yes. I feel safer. They feel safe. It's just better for everybody. There's no downside to that.
Can I tell you what atypical is? Because just the fact that you mentioned it and this guy's a hero, Michael Rappaport, Atypical is on Netflix, and Sam, an 18-year-old on the autism spectrum, decides it's time to find a girlfriend, a journey that sets Sam's mom on her own life-changing path as her son seeks more independence.
Well, that sounds good.
Oh, my God, I'm going to totally watch this
now.
That
sounds very good.
So I'm glad he saved the day, because now I'm going to watch Atypical on Netflix.
Can I tell you something?
August 11th.
Here's a little inside track about him, about Michael Rappaport. He's a very good actor. I've seen him in a bunch of things. He does comedy well. He does drama well. I used to do stand-up with him at the Improv in Los Angeles years and years and years ago. One of his uncles was a co-owner of the Improv, so he used to get a lot of stage time, and he's a nut. He's like an absolute goof, but when you see him and stuff, like, he's a good enough actor to where you put that aside. I mean, I had some conversations with him that when they were done, I was dizzy. I go, what was he talking about? But then when you see him and stuff, both comedy and drama, you go, wow, the guy knows what he's doing. He's a pretty good actor.
Here's where people would know him, and I think I screwed this up with NYPD Blue. One of my favorite movies of all time, True Romance,
yes,
with Christian Slater.
Yes.
He's his buddy.
Yes, right.
And is amazing
yeah.
in that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
He's really good in that.
And it says in his IMDb thing that he, out of high school, he tried his hand at stand-up comedy in L.A.
He was not good. He was fun to talk to, but you know people that when you're done, you just go, what was that all about? Like, every conversation I ever had with him, I would leave going, I don't know what just happened. What happened there?
He said he got kicked out of school a bunch of times, and he eventually graduated from high school and then went right into
stand-up. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's a hero, Bill.
He's a hero. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then we have more to tell you. Stick around. Oh, and Peter Pan tickets at some point before the show's over. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I like this spike with
I'm going to be flying pretty soon because we're going on vacation, and I hope I don't have to push someone away from the emergency exit. Plus, I won't sit in that row.
Oh, you won't even sit in that
it's
row.
It's too much pressure.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't want to be a hero. I would be if necessary, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. It's not worth it for the legroom.
I always get nervous when they're explaining what's what, should there be some sort of a mishap, and whoever's in that row isn't paying attention. I want them to pay attention.
I know. I always check out the people. I walk by and cross my arms and look at them.
Yeah.
It's like,
you've got a responsibility, sir. Please pay attention.
And most people are like me and don't want the responsibility. They just want the legroom.
Right.
That's not fair.
With one, you must follow. You must, whatever. All right. So here's another story, Wendy, from the airlines. And I don't think Michael Rappaport's in this story at all. I'm pre-reading.
What about Big Baby?
Big Baby is mentioned. Yes. So this is a video. If you've been near the news over the last 12 or 14 hours, you've probably already seen this. But a woman was taken off of a Spirit Airline flight from Houston. Did the other one happen in Houston, too, or am I imagining it?
Yeah, I thought you said L.A., Houston to L.A., or L.A. to Houston.
Something's going on in Houston. They have a problem. That's what it is. All right, so after she had a mid-flight meltdown...
Traveling is very stressful. Can I just tell you, I really hate traveling. I like when I'm there for about 2 days.
Right.
Then I start freaking out about coming home.
Right.
But the traveling part is not fun.
All right. I will give you that. There is a lot of stress involved with traveling, but this lady did not handle it well. Now, we have some audio, and the audio itself lasts a little over a minute. We're not going to play the whole thing for you because... she just keeps swearing and swearing and swearing and swearing, and it keeps getting bleeped. So here's the only part where she goes about 10 or 15 seconds without the swearing.
Is this where you say you think she's a friend of mine because she swears so much again?
I wouldn't say friend so much as mentor. Like one of you may
have... Come on, you gave me credit and said I don't really swear that
much. You cut way back on your swearing, but once I almost don't want to play this because I think once you hear this, you'll go, oh, I could top that, and you'll outswear her.
All right.
All right, let's see. Yeah, she just keeps swearing.
But did she not like the meal she got? Get it out of here?
She said, get me out of here. Then she mentioned something about, I know what happened to my family or something like that, which there was nothing that had happened to her family. You know, she was just being delusional at that point. So she's having a first class meltdown, and everybody
wasn't
on the plane.
In first class.
No, she was in coach, Wendy. Did I say first class?
Yes.
She was having a coach meltdown. Sorry. During the intense 1 minute and 20 second video, we only played a little bit of it for you, the woman curses, makes threats involving her brothers, and acts erratically before a plane full of stunned passengers. Get me the blank off of this plane, which is a line from a Samuel Jackson movie, the woman screams. You want to be blank and blank to... Oh, see, now this is just ridiculous because I can't get any of this in without swearing. You'll see me blanking blanked. What does that
Mel
mean?
Mel Blanc just called, and his estate wants money for it every time you mention it.
They deserve money. I will write him a blank check. A passenger told ABC 13 that people were pretty upset, he said. I would be pretty upset after the woman's outburst on the Spirit Airline flight. At one point, when a male passenger stands up to block the woman from getting to the front of the plane, she shakes her fist at the man before lashing out. Now, in the video, you see one guy who is a very big man. This woman is of average build. And then this guy stands up like, this is going to end now. And she does that thing you see in cartoons where she just makes like a muscular kind of a fist. Like, right. She's not going to top this guy. And then another big guy stands up and she just kind of goes around them.
How did she get past them?
I don't know.
They misused their big.
Right. They should have used their big to
you
more
advantage.
No, you should have. Right. Maybe they were Chicago Bears, Wendy.
Maybe. Let them through.
Easy to get around them, yeah.
I don't know what has happened to me, but I feel 100% sorry for this woman.
Yes.
I really do.
I do, too. I do, too, because obviously she has some sort of emotional problems and probably shouldn't have been flying by herself. I don't know what the thought process was there.
But there aren't really restrictions. If you buy a ticket and you can walk on board yourself.
They don't do a test. Yeah. Right. In the video, passengers can be heard praying.
Well, she didn't have a weapon.
She did not have a weapon, and I'm curious, as you know, I'm not a very religious person, but I'm curious as to why you would think, I guess you use prayer anytime you need it, right? But
yeah.
Praying wouldn't be in my top 10 things to do at that point.
Well, I would pray she didn't get into the cockpit.
Oh, maybe that's why they were praying. Or maybe that Michael Rappaport would just show up magically like he did in the first story.
Where's Big Baby when you need him? He could have stopped her.
I don't know. Passengers could be heard praying, consoling each other, some audibly in distress by the unsettling incident. Do you want to know what hell is? I've been there 10 times, the woman said.
Poor thing. Spirit doesn't fly there.
No, not directly.
Oh.
You have to go through El Paso.
Exit row passengers, by the way, Bill, according to a texter, have to give an audible affirmative to the flight attendant
after
the
instruction. I know that's true.
Yeah, but so what? Somebody's going to go, aye, aye, captain, or yes,
yeah.
And they could still shirk their responsibilities.
No, that's true. But I do know there has to be something. The plane has to have some sort of a verbal acknowledgement from the passenger that they will pay attention, but then they don't. Not always.
I'm already starting to freak out about flying.
No, it's all right. It's okay. All right, we'll take a quick break. Some news. Peter Pan tickets coming your way in just a little bit. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, who likes water? Because I have to tell you, we moved to this new building, 303 East Wacker, and there are two aquariums. Do you see that in the lobby when you walk in?
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Honest to God, I could sit in front of it and watch it just like you do a television.
Sure.
But what's even more beautiful is everything that's going on at the Shedd Aquarium. And Johnny Ford, Manager of Communications and Public Relations for the Shedd, is on the line with us. How's it going, Johnny?
Going well. How are you?
Good. I have to tell you, I'm pretty excited about this exhibit that I'm not sure if it's there yet, Washed Ashore. All of our beaches are inundated with plastic, and the animals and the wildlife there are really having a tough time with straws and six-pack rings. But now, all of a sudden, this has been turned into art. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so Washed Ashore is a traveling exhibit that features sculptures of aquatic life that are made out of plastic that's been picked up off of beaches. So these are pretty massive structures of penguins, of sea dragons, and as you get up closer to them, you start to recognize pieces of plastic that we see in our everyday lives, like bottle caps, brushes, combs, and we have 19 of them here at the aquarium, some of them inside, and about 5 of them, I think, outside of the aquarium, so people who are just walking by on museum campus can come up and see them as well.
I'm trying to remember, I just read in the news somewhere that some state just, or city for sure, banned plastic straws. I know Brookfield Zoo doesn't do plastic straws because you don't realize how much it can hurt the environment and the wildlife.
Yeah, and that's the reasoning behind the Shed the Straw campaign that we launched last year on Earth Day. Really taking a look at the dangers that plastics pose to aquatic life specifically. And, you know, one really easy action that people can take is to not use a plastic straw and go for a more sustainable alternative.
We have so much garbage. It's going to be pretty amazing to see these giant sculptures just to show you how much is confiscated from the beaches around the world.
Yeah, I think it'll be great to have here this summer. So all of the sculptures will be here through September. And like I said, if you're out for a walk on museum campus during the summer, even if you're not coming to the aquarium, you can stop by and see them and take a look at it and, you know, really want to start a conversation about the dangers of plastic pollution.
Johnny, it seems like the Shedd Aquarium always has special exhibits running, but for some reason this summer they really packed it on. Am I imagining that, or are there more this year than usual?
Yeah, it's a busy time. So on top of the traveling exhibit that we're hosting, we have a new special exhibit here as well called Underwater Beauty. And that's taking the place of the amphibian special exhibit that we had years prior.
This is a stupid question, but do you find moray eels to be attractive? Because I think they're the ugliest creature ever known to man.
So I think, you know, we find every aquatic being, every aquatic life is beautiful in its own way.
They're all beautiful.
Come on.
Yeah, that's kind of what we celebrate. We're not just celebrating traditional beauty and underwater beauty. We're kind of celebrating the weird and the different as well. So
Come on, Wendy. Hug a manatee. What's wrong with you?
No, the manatees, I will.
You like those?
They're adorable, but the moray eels are so scary. I have to tell you, Johnny, my partner Bill Leff is obsessed with deep, dark sea creatures that surface in the news every once in a while.
Yes.
Like a fish that has, I saw it in a cartoon with like a light bulb eye that helps it in the depths of the ocean.
Those.
You love those.
Yes.
What can
we say? We have all kinds of different animals in this exhibit. So what's different than our previous exhibits, a lot of our previous special exhibits have focused on one species or one class of animals, like amphibians or jellies. Underwater Beauty is our most diverse special exhibit we've ever had. We have over 100 species from across the globe. So we have ribbon eels, we have the mantis shrimp, which can see more colors than we can, and is actually powerful enough that it can break glass. We have all kinds of fluorescent corals and pulsing jellies, anything that you can imagine. We're really showcasing a lot of diversity and aquatic adaptations in this exhibit.
I could watch jellyfish swim all day. It's so soothing and comforting to watch them, as long as you're not in the water with them.
Right.
You have your Jazzin' at the Shed going on Wednesdays. If you like jazz, we can find out about that at shedaquarium.org.
Yeah, and this has been a long-standing event series for us. It's really popular Wednesday nights. We always feature live jazz music. And this year, we've introduced some new themed nights as well. So actually, tomorrow will be an LGBTQ Pride Jazzin' in honor of Pride Month. And then we've got a few more themed nights in July and August and September, celebrating 4th of July, Shark Week, Women in Science, and a youth night as well.
You should have a rainbow trout.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea.
You're welcome.
Oh, Johnny, we're so glad we have Bill Leff here. So I haven't been to the Shed Aquarium in a while, and I need to go back. You can find him on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Just Google shedaquarium.org. And also outside of the aquarium, some new nature experiences that are starting today, right?
Yeah, so we're actually just announcing some details about them today. We're really excited. So we've got three new nature experiences that we're launching beyond the aquarium walls to really try and connect people with nature and encourage people to look nature in the eye.
And so a traveling aquarium, what else is going on? There's some boat excursions, some kayaking.
Yes. So the experiences are going to happen across the city. So one of them is a traveling aquarium. So we'll be bringing Great Lakes wildlife and Great Lakes species to different neighborhoods across the city. So people won't have to come to us or come to the lake to connect with aquatic life. So we'll be going to a number of different communities. Some of those locations and dates we will be sharing ahead of time, and others we will kind of be keeping under wraps so we can surprise people and delight people.
Johnny, I've said this about the Shed Aquarium before, and I'll say it again. If you haven't been there in 2 or 3 or 4 years, forget it. You have to go back. It's always changing and evolving. You guys do a great job of keeping things up to date and fresh.
Thanks. Yeah, and I think this is particularly exciting because while things are always changing on site here at the aquarium, this is an opportunity for us to really get out and connect people where they are with nature, too. So beyond the traveling aquarium, we have an island, like a habitat island that we are installing in the Chicago River. We're partnering with Urban Rivers to do so. And this will provide habitat both growing underneath the water surface and above for all of the animals that are living in the river ecosystem. And once that's installed, we'll actually be working with a kayaking group to bring kayakers out to the island to be able to paddle out to the island, learn a little bit more about who lives in the river and why the ecosystem is so important, and then conducting some citizen science and helping us do surveys to figure out what kind of turtles are we seeing? Are we seeing any carp laying eggs? Are we seeing snails? Are the plants growing? Really getting some information about how the habitat is changing and how the animals and the ecosystem are using it.
Someone has texted us and wondered if there are like special days where there's a discounted admission if they wanted to bring a bunch of kids together.
Yeah, so we always have free days this year. I think our next free day opportunities are in September, but you can always check the website. We've got those free days listed for Illinois residents.
And I don't know what Bill and I and Steve Bertrand were talking about earlier this week, but Bill, you mentioned that they sometimes serve a food.
Yeah, if you eat there at the Shedd Aquarium in the cafeteria there, they serve seafood, which I feel is wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Like cannibalistic kind
yeah,
of?
Yeah, it's wondered a little on happened. The cannibalistic side. It's not my decision to make, but I, you know, you shouldn't have seafood.
I totally understand. You know, we've had people respond in that way before, but honestly, I think it's important that we of all people are the ones that are, you know, starting a narrative about how to consume seafood responsibly. So we are always available to connect with restaurants and consumers to help make a conscious decision about what kind of seafood you should be purchasing and eating, because there are tons of seafood out there that is being harvested unsustainably, and it's detrimental to populations and ecosystems where those animals are being taken out in large quantities. So, you know, I think it's a responsibility for us to lead a conversation about if you're going to eat seafood, we want to make sure that you're doing it in a responsible way.
That makes sense.
It totally does.
I'd like to believe that it was seafood that volunteered to be served up at the restaurant. That's the only way I could enjoy it. Johnny, thank you. We really appreciate it.
Of course.
He's Johnny Ford.
Thank you for having
us. Absolutely. Johnny Ford, Manager of Communications and Public Relations at the Shedd Aquarium. And as he said, go to the website sheddaquarium.org because they do offer some free days and maybe they have some specials going on, because somebody wanted to know if we wanted to bring four kids from the neighborhood or something. It can add up.
Oh, yeah, sure. All right, yeah, so check their website. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. And then we do have Peter Pan tickets to give away. You can win them very easily. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. There's some music. A bar in Chicago has banned the Make America Great Again hats. Karen Conti joins Steve Cochran's show tomorrow at 6:40 a.m. to discuss this.
We need to get some listeners lined up, Bill, because we have a family four-pack of tickets to see Peter Pan, A Musical Adventure.
The Boy Who Wouldn't Grow Up, Wendy.
Are you starring in this?
I'm understudying.
At Chicago Shakespeare Theater, it's at Navy Pier, playing June 27th through August 19th. It's the magical musical based on the beloved tale about the boy who wouldn't grow up.
I told you.
In 75 minutes. It's all going to happen. Get tickets at chicagoshakes.com, or we have a family four-pack to give away. Here's the number, 312-981-7200.
Call us right now, 312-981-7200.
And what do you want, Jasmine, to just get their name?
Yeah, if you can provide us a name, that's pretty much all we need. And you need to be available to see the show, but it's running for a while, so it's not a specific night, is it? Or
no,
is it?
It's June 27th through August 19th, but Bill has a Peter Pan question.
Yes,
and
I do.
So, Jazzy, just line up some callers, and I always wonder how hard these are going to be.
This one is not hard because we're almost out of time.
Oh.
I had a harder version of it, but I've gone a little soft on this one just because of the amount of
they
time.
They have a bill for that.
Jasmine, write down Sue Wendy so I remember to Sue Wendy.
Wendy Sue.
Which is your middle name. I know. It paid off.
All right. Aaron was the first person in. So, Aaron, hopefully you will win a family four-pack to go see Peter Pan at Shakespeare Theater.
Aaron, good luck. Are you ready? Here's the trivia question. I hope you win. I'm a big fan. Here goes. Which horror movie gets its title from characters featured in Peter Pan?
How's the Googling going?
Oh, no Googling.
Oh, God. I don't know.
Take a quick guess.
Okay.
Three, two,
give me like 2 seconds.
One. No. Aaron, I'm sorry. Googling is wrong. It's a sin.
Yeah, but what do you think Tom just
did?
The
11th commandment. Thou shalt not Google.
Tom, are you Googling?
No Googling.
I'm not Googling.
All right, I'll ask you the question again, Tom. I hope you win. Our last caller was Googling. Here goes. Which horror movie gets its title from characters featured in Peter Pan?
I'm going to say Hook.
It is not Hook. Book was a fantasy adventure, not a horror film.
Nice guess, though.
That's a great guess.
Ryan's on the line. Hi, Ryan. We've got a family four-packet tickets for Peter Pan, a musical adventure.
Here's the question again. Same question. Which horror movie gets its title from characters featured in Peter Pan?
I'm going to guess Saw. I don't know.
Saw?
No, there was no character named Saw in Peter Pan. Thank you, though. Good guess. That's a great guess. Right. Peter Pan's friend Saw.
I don't know if that's what he said.
I think it is.
Nancy's on the line. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I think my answer's probably wrong.
Take a guess.
I was going to say Halloween with Michael Myers, since Michael is one of the brothers.
Oh, that's a great... No, I can't... No, it's the actual title. It's not just a character name.
Yeah.
But a nice try. Thank you very much, Nancy.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a family four-pack of tickets to go to the Chicago Shakespeare Theater at Navy Pier to see Peter Pan.
Just for the record, this is harder than I thought. I thought it might go three or four deep. Do you know the answer to
No.
it? You don't. Interesting. All right.
John has called us, though.
All right. John, I will read you the question again. Which horror movie gets its title from characters featured in Peter Pan? In both the movie version and the J.M. Barrie novel, which horror movie are we talking about?
Unfortunately, I don't know.
No?
I don't either, man.
Really?
This is really hard.
Wow. All right. Well,
I even cheated and Googled it. I can't find it.
Even without the Google. All right. Well, thank you for being so honest.
Thank you, John. Couldn't even Google the answer.
I even cheated and I couldn't find the answer. Wow.
All right, let's see what Darla's up to.
All right. Darla, good luck. Here's the question again one more time. Which horror movie gets its title from characters featured in Peter Pan?
The Lost Boys.
The Lost Boys is absolutely correct.
Oh, yeah.
1987's The Lost Boys, starring Jason Patrick and Kiefer Sutherland.
Darla,
very nice.
You are
never thought.
It's pretty good.
It's very good.
And Peter Pan, a musical adventure. You got a family four-pack of tickets to see it. Chicago Shakespeare Theater, anytime June 27th through August 19th. It's over at Navy Pier.
Perfect.
Congratulations, Darla. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take a call.
The rest of you can get tickets at chicagoshakes.com. We have no break here.
Oh, there's no break?
No. So we can talk to Steve Bertrand. We have been off the stream for a while. Usually we're just off our rockers.
I know.
But today we're off the stream.
Yeah, for a little bit longer. Not much longer. They're working on our other studio. They've told us that we're just a week or two away. So we're hoping that that happens more sooner than later.
So we'll let you know when we're back on the stream. In the meantime, what do you do at 12 noon? Listen to the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, of course.
The Secret Garden? Was it The Secret Garden?
No, Steve, it was The Lost Boys. Was that too hard, be honest? I didn't think that was a hard question at all.
I could have spent the rest of my life not getting that question.
I would have never gotten it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was an easy one. All right. I will gauge accordingly in the future.
No, you won't.
I'll make them harder. Steve, what is coming up, if it's not too personal a question, what is coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch?
All kinds of really fun stuff. John Najarian will be here, you know, from CNBC.
Dr. J.
People get riled up when he calls me Steven.
Yeah.
Which I love.
He does, doesn't he? He formalizes it a little bit.
Many text messages from people. It's like, I hate it when he calls you Steven.
No. Why? Why do they hate it?
I don't know. It's funny to me.
I hate it, too.
Do you really?
I do. It bugs me.
All right.
Well, I don't know why. I think it's kind of
endearing. Why, Kimberly?
Just for that reason right there.
Maybe a scolding parent.
Maybe he's mad at you, Steve. I bet that's why.
He might be.
Maybe.
Are you preoccupied with something?
It's a distracted day. I don't know what's going on. We've had some cancellations, and Bennett just pointed at the wall, and I looked at the wall. I don't really know what I was supposed to say there.
So your show will feature both Dr. J and a wall.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I'm in.
Actually, later in the second half hour, we're going to talk to Seth Denson, who's the president, co-founder of GDP Advisors. They look at insurance and healthcare and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you have followed it at all, but Berkshire Hathaway's, Amazon, and Chase have formed the sort of health care co-op.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They, I think it's 1 million workers in all. And they hired a new CEO. And the idea is that they're going to try to figure out how to change the way to provide health care, how employers can do it differently.
That other businesses may follow suit and do a similar
thing. That's the whole point.
If it works, yeah.
It's not for profit, and they want to make it work, and then they want to make it available. But, you know, one of the things to think about is that more and more of us are not going to 40-hour-a-week jobs. You know, the gig economy and all of that. And so the traditional way of getting our health care insurance, I think about half of Americans get their health care insurance through work.
Right.
That's going to keep going down and down because it's just not the model of how we work anymore. So we'll take a look at that, too.
Maybe Steve Bertrand Insurance?
Yeah, it could
something
be,
to think about.
An offshoot of Bertrand Travel.
Yeah. I heard from Ennett's group. They've arrived. They're all checked into their hotel in Denmark.
Success.
And I love the... I contacted the guide there who's filling me in on who the trouble people are. And so far, it seems to be Dave Ennett.
Is it Dave?
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Well, have a great show, Stephen.
I will. That's some of what's coming up in
Stephen?
The next...
Stephen? Yeah. I hear what you did there. You
60
didn't.
Minutes. You can call me Stephen.
I will.
Would you stay? Because I'm worried.